The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I got a little reverb to this thing. Okay. It'll certainly be a show here on Pittsfield Community Radio 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield 88.1 WSBR, Lee. Jesse Claude can hear Mike as well. We have our special guest, Howard Herman.
We have two special guests.
Mike is throwing me off because he is on a different microphone.
Sorry. When Howard shows up, I like to relegate myself to the corner.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I invite Howard in so I don't have to talk much.
I'm leaving. I'll see you guys.
Yeah. We do have Hank in the corner as well, so we'll see what happens there.
Puzzling away.
It's been a very, very fun week of it's 60 degrees, now it's 25 degrees, now it's back to 55 degrees.
It's hailing.
Now it's snowing.
In the backyard.
Yep.
I did have an audible WTF when I went to the bathroom on, Wednesday morning?
That happened to me.
A Thursday morning? Tuesday morning.
It was Tuesday morning. Yeah, Tuesday I was supposed morning. To go cover a baseball game.
That happened.
First of all, so I'm downstairs doing some work in my office, and I go upstairs to get some fresh coffee, and I look out the window, and it's January.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just flurrying. It was flat-out whiteout.
Yeah, when I went to, I think it was Monday was when I covered Lennox DeConnick softball, and I was driving back from Nashua, New Hampshire. And I was like, all right, I'll just go from Nashua straight to the game because, you know, it's Lennox is when you're coming up from the pike. That just makes sense. And then I see that, A, it's supposed to snow, and B, it's going to be like 35 degrees out. And I said, okay.
And you obviously were not ready for that.
I did not have the clothing for that. So I drove home a couple hours earlier so that way, and, you know, even having to go from Lennox to Pittsfield and then back because I was like, I want boots. And I want my winter jacket, and I was very, very glad that I had both of them.
Well, I had two baseball games. One of them started late by design. It started at 5 o'clock. So it was But then as the sun begins to set.
Yes.
The temperature plummeted, and then the next day I was at a game. I was down in Sheffield where it was actually like 8 or 9 degrees warmer than it was in Pittsfield.
And then it got cold. Very luckily, the Lennox field had a lot of sun, so that was a saving grace.
You're up on a hill,
You're up on the hill. When the sun sets, then it wasn't so nice. I was at Pine Grove Park in Dalton, and there's a lot of sun. It was also not as cold yesterday, so that was very helpful too. But it was the sun shining, and it was about 50 or so, and that was pretty nice.
There were two things that I was very thankful for. One is that on Tuesday, I didn't use them Tuesday, I used them on Wednesday. On Tuesday, I was given a package of hand warmers by a Wakona baseball parent.
Very nice.
Put them in my pocket.
That's a bribe.
I didn't have gloves on Tuesday because it wasn't that cold.
Careful.
But on Tuesday, it was colder. I had gloves. So for the last two innings of the Mount Everett Lennox baseball game, I had that I had that hand warmer in my writing hand, and of course the best thing is, my car is of a proper age. I have heated seats, and they were and I never thought that in the second week of April I would need heated seats.
Oh no! See, I'm the type of person who keeps multiple pairs of gloves in my car and doesn't use any of them, and I just let my hands be cold. It's a particular breed of mental stupidity.
Well, it's also
I keep a winter like snow gloves, and then I keep gloves that are just a layer that you'd call driving gloves, but can just be using. And yeah, I don't use any of them.
Driving gloves.
But as we all know,
you're driving a '67 Mustang.
Yeah, dang right.
because as we all know, before he came back to New England, lived in upstate, in
in Western New York.
Part of the world,
yeah.
In the coldest part of the
world. 67 Mustang and a 2015 Corolla, same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Henry and I lasted about a quarter at the girls lacrosse game Wednesday afternoon. But I will say, Lily Ferris, what are there, 11 players on? So it's 22 players on a lacrosse field. 21 of them had sweatpants, sweatshirts on. Lily Ferris still rocking the shorts. And did have an Under Armour shirt, a long sleeve shirt, but clearly kind of badass moment. And she goes and scores 6 goals in a 7-2 win. This is a time where kids can, I think, showcase some toughness. And
yeah.
Well, on my
Jesse and I had a lengthy discussion about this, about the game that you were at, Howard.
Which game?
The
Wakona Drury
baseball.
Baseball game. The one thing I will say about that is, I gave Wakona third baseman Sam McLaughlin huge props. He mm-hmm. was the only guy that didn't have one of those Balakalva's hats on.
There you go.
He was, you know, completely.
That's exactly what I said. Carson Rylander going out on opening day, it offended Mike, and I
don't understand why.
I just don't. I don't think it's a great look to have your star pitcher opening day go out there with that on.
No,
I think it would have been more of a like tough statement, intimidation to go out there in just a t-shirt.
It's not football. They're not offensive linemen where they got to show the arm.
I'm just saying it would have been an intimidation move, and I would have had like newfound respect.
Intimidation moves do work in baseball.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
as I said, would Brian Jezewski ever be caught wearing a balaclava?
If it's 35 degrees out, Brian Jezewski is
wearing
in shorts.
Yes. There's no clava. Gary Campbell, never going to wear that.
Gary Campbell's staff is never going to wear that.
Marshall Maxwell not wearing like.
No. Marshall Maxwell, I love because he was when it was cold out. When I saw them, he was layered up. He was dressed up. He was layered up. He's like, I don't need to pretend to be tough, man. It's cold out.
Oh, my favorite part of the Wakona guys is they all. Is when it gets cold, they wear heavy coats and shorts.
Yes. Mm. Well, I was like, Gary is feeling the cold more this year because he always had the visor on, and when it got to like November, he had the baseball cap. I was like, oh, we need the little extra heat.
He's keeping
that hair cut shorter.
It's true.
And it's a little harder, but it's fascinating to watch different guys like. Robert Jutras, the Drury coach, was in a pullover.
But his
assistants all had, you know, heavier coats on. Colin Parrott, the Wakona coach, was just in a pullover. Some of his assistant coaches had coats on. So, you know.
I will say, this is completely different. Like, football, you're moving around. Baseball, you're standing in the outfield. Like, half the Lennox and Stikonik fielders were just wearing jackets because, you know, they're just standing there.
I just think it's a batter. If you go up there and you see the guy, like, full face cover, you're like, oh. Like I can hit this guy.
This guy can't. But in any case, We're moving swiftly along. Now we mentioned Drury Wakona, and that's a good place to start because I entered the season with Drury, and I'm going. This is the best team in Berkshire County that's not in Pittsfield, and you're coming off a Western Mass Championship, and you're coming off a Final Four appearance, and a game that in the Final Four I think you absolutely could have won, and I'm going. You bring back just about everybody, and. This is plug in, ready to go. Like I don't know if we're talking 20-0, but we're talking like you should be best in your league and you should be winning game. And they've been a little up and down to start. So Howard, tell me what you've seen from them. Should we be worried or is this just kind of a bump in the road?
It was their first game. They're going to be fine. Carson Rylander did not have his best day. It's really hard to pitch when it's 40 degrees outside.
That's what I was going to ask. Is, you know, if they play this game and it's 70 degrees out, is it a very different story, do you think?
I don't know if the results are different because it's still baseball and you've got, you know, and it's just a different kind of sport than that. But certainly, you know, Rylander's going to strike out more batters. The difference in this game was, you know, fielding was a little bit off. Wakona got timely hits. Drury didn't get as many timely hits. There were a couple of times, you know, every time Wakona scored in that game, they got the leadoff guy on. And in baseball and softball, if you get the leadoff batter on, good things do not usually happen to the defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
They
yeah.
Just up and down season. They've only played one game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody.
You know. To be fair. Okay. I
mean, other than other than the Pittsfield baseball team and the Mount Everett baseball team, nobody's really played more than two games. Yeah. Maybe three.
Yeah.
For some reason, Pittsfield's like 5-1, mm-hmm. and Mount Everett's 5-0. You know, and I don't know how they've managed to play so many games, and everybody else hasn't played at all.
I don't know how Drury's managed to play one game. The season's been on for like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. They play tonight. They are home against Monument.
There you go. Yeah, okay, well, yeah, and just, you know, like, you know, you lose to Wacona when it doesn't
and
have
then Wacona
reviews
went out and lost last
pitching.
Night to
right,
Greylock.
And to Greylock. That's also so where I'm at with Drury, where it's like, all right, so you lost to Wacona without James Rebus, and then Wacona loses to Greylock, so what's going on with Drury? But what's going on with Wacona?
Nothing's going on with Wacona. You know, Rebus hasn't pitched yet. He's still day-to-day. He had a little bit of, from what I understand, he had a little bit of a back thing. But he'll be fine at some point and be in the lineup. There are a bunch of young pitchers that Colin Parrott's using right now, and they're learning how to play. And Greylock's a good baseball team. You know, they're not the top. You know, they're not at the top rung, but they're pretty good. They're young. There's a lot of really young talent there, and I wasn't shocked by that. Again, it's way too early because teams gave up, you know, both teams scored 21 runs in that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a 30-degree baseball game, you know, and that's and stuff really happens crazily when it's really cold.
Yeah, I mean, because Greylock had been kind of, you know, certainly rebuilding but rough for a couple of years, so then I guess now they're talented but they're young. That's how I look at Pittsfield High softball. They're talented but they're very young. I think there's a lot of that going around in the county, but let's see, where else should we go?
Stick with baseball.
Yeah,
Mount Everett as well.
Yeah, you saw that. Yeah.
And is this going to be the same deal with basketball where it's just kind of a pop season for them?
Well, it's going to be
I mean, Mount Everett's baseball's been there, so it's a little more often than basketball
We had questions about, you know, they had almost everybody back, but they just didn't have their pitchers, and it seems like they found their pitchers.
Well, they found at least one in Darius Taliaferro, the left-hander, who has another year yet because he's only a junior. They're a good baseball team. They could beat any – on a given day, they can beat anybody in Berkshire County. I would suggest to you that if they played Pittsfield and Pittsfield through Cody or Melly, no. But if it's a day when Pittsfield's in the rotation and it's the four guy against the one guy, they've got a puncher's chance. They're pretty solid. They got some good hitters. They catch the ball.
Who's the catcher?
They catch Trevor Leonard.
Okay.
And
isn't he also pitching too?
He is also pitching too. And they have other than Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop Connor Griffin, they have the largest shortstop I've ever seen.
Oh yeah,
Brady Carpenter.
They moved him from first, I think, which is interesting.
Last year, yeah, he is their best athlete. So your best athlete in baseball usually plays shortstop.
Well, your biggest one usually is at first, and you know it's also. I feel like you need to be pretty quick to be shortstop, and given that he's like 6'3", 285.
Well,
you know,
not quite 285, but yeah.
250?
Maybe. But, you know, but
I mean, look, he moves well. We've seen him basketball season.
They're pretty solid up the middle when you go Leonard behind the plate, Carpenter at shortstop, and Brody Kinnett in center field. So, you know, if you are in baseball especially, if you are strong up the middle, you're going to be pretty good.
And it feels like, if not 1-9, 1-5 or 6 can all hit.
They can all hit, you know, and you know, Brian Wade, is a new coach, but as I wrote the other day, he's kind of not a new coach because he was on Dan Luna's staff for a few years. Before that, he had worked under Tom Hankey at Monument.
He coaches the Sheffield Legion team.
Yes, so he knows all these kids, and you know, and he knows the high school scene. So they're going to be pretty good. And with Pioneer Valley having graduated everybody, I think the entire high school graduated last year. They have a they have a legitimate shot at being a Class D champion.
Oh, I think Mount Everett and Hopkins are probably the two teams to look at in Class D. 100%, this could be their year. So that'll be really interesting to see. Speaking of Pittsfield, they had a kind of a rough loss on the road, and then they come back and they kind of handle West Springfield, which is a good program. So I don't know. Yeah, it seems like this is they should be Western Mass favorites in Class B, and you know they're back in Division III.
The loss was interesting, Jesse, because it was a two-day loss. I think it was a suspended game, and they went back and finished it, or it was moved and. It
might have been a rescheduled game.
Yeah, but they come back and in the next two games score 30 runs.
Right.
They're going to be fine. I think the Longmeadow game, they were at the back end of their rotation. And unlike in softball, where the same pitcher basically pitches every day, baseball teams, you know, have rotate. You know, everybody gets like 4 days rest. And if nothing else, Pittsfield coach Drew Pierce is probably the most strict coach when it comes to pitch counts. He's got guys who could finish games, but he doesn't let them this early in the season.
Well, I thought the Longmeadow loss was a shutout. That's what was really surprising was the offense had been so good, and then it got shut out. And then they come back with
that's a Division I. You know, that's a good
D2,
division.
Yeah, D2 school.
And they're a Class A team.
Yep.
And they play in the other Valley League, which is
very good.
It was a Saturday morning road trip the morning after playing Taconic.
Sure.
Also. So
maybe we'll chalk that one up as it happens. But, then they come back.
They've scored 30 runs in two games since.
We're not sounding any alarm bells. We're perfectly comfortable with PHS and where they're at.
I'm perfectly comfortable with where everybody is right now. It's just too,
it's very early.
Call me on May 1st, and then I'll let you know where people are.
I'll have you back here.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we can point to all the things you said and how you're wrong.
Wouldn't be
the first time. I'll say on Taconic, they definitely have some young guys starting. I saw them throw Evan Rockaburn against PHS, which was a little surprising just because I expected to be Quentin Christopher. But Rockaburn was pretty good. I mean, kind of a junk ball pitcher, but he held down the fort for Taconic for a while, and then kind of just the dam broke because Jay Cody was in the zone, which is good to see, because it seemed like he oscillated a little more last year than you might have expected from him, and he was dealing. He had a perfect game through three innings. He set down 10 straight batters, gave up three straight hits, and then went back and just handled business. So very, very, very impressive.
The Cody Melly 1-2 for Pittsfield is, I don't want to say they're going to be unhittable all year because they're not. And there will be a game where one of them lets up one too many fastballs in the zone and somebody will crush it. But if I'm a coach and I have those two guys at the top of my rotation, I'm taking my chances every day and twice on Sundays.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they handled Division III. They were in Division IV the last 2 years. Go to a state final, go to a Final Four. Before then, round of 16 is the best they had done in D3. So it'll be interesting to see how they handled being back in Division III. That's where Taconic has been the last 2 years. We'll see what happens. But we'll move on to softball. It's been kind of a weird... Taconic beat Pittsfield, then Taconic lost to Lenox, then Taconic lost to Wakona. The Suburban West is fun. I talked to Dustin Belcher yesterday, the Wakona coach, and he was very excited about it. He said, this is feels just like the Berkshire League with boys basketball. Get the county rivalries, a lot of good games. I had some sizable expectations for Wakona this year because they brought back almost everybody. They only had to replace one starter, and they kind of figured out how to replace her last year. That was Edrie Collins, who was the catcher, and they moved her to first base at the end of last season. And so now they just have somebody at first who was on the team last year, and they have Kennedy Arnold. They moved her to catcher at the end of last season, so now she's catcher, and Marley Arnold is the main pitcher, so you got sister-to-sister connection, which is really, really nice. And yeah, you know, it was an impressive win. They were at the JV field at Pine Grove Park, which was very funny because there's no fence. And so we had two inside the park home runs that were just because the ball, you know, kept on going. Although I joked with Dustin because the main field with a fence at Pine Grove is massive anyway.
Yes.
So you know, I've seen multiple inside the park home runs there. It probably could have happened twice.
You know, it's funny. Clapp Park, where the Pittsfield baseball team plays, used to not be fenced.
Mm.
And
it's not fenced currently. When I saw PHS Taconic, it had no fence.
Okay, well then you get those ground ball home.
Yes,
get those. And I covered the Wakona Greylock softball game, that was pretty good for four innings. And I've read and I've seen wrap up results and all that. Is there a dearth of pitching in softball? Because there have been a ton of, you know, football score games.
Yes. I mean, so what I would say is that this year, or I'd say there are a lot of really good hitting teams. That's for starters. So that's just gonna boost up the scores by and large. But yeah, I would say there are some good pitchers in the county, but there are no elite pitchers in the county this year. None have emerged. I think Gracelyn Wright for Hoosick, Evelyn Giuliano for Lennox, potentially Arnold for Wakona. They're all good. You know, they will all do their job. They'll keep you in a game, but none of them is going to win you a game.
And Arnold didn't start in the Greylock game. She came on in
relief.
Was
it Harper Key who started?
Yes, the lefty.
They kind of bounce back and forth between them. I think Arnold is going to get the start in most of their big games, but they use Harper Key to spell him in the games against the teams they know they're better than.
And that's interesting because it is rare in softball when you have two pitchers, one lefty, one righty. And that really can throw a team off, even more so than in baseball.
Where you might expect it more. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see with Kona because they have a lot of really good hitters. And their fielders are all kind of back.
Jesus.
What?
Hoosick hasn't played since that Pittsfield game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll see Hoosick Lennox
March
tonight.
30th.
That'll be a really interesting game.
First
but
and only game.
I think they've had two cancellations. So
yeah. I'm looking at like that. I've been keeping track of strikeouts this year. And I was like, oh, yeah, Gracelyn Wright. And she's pitched four innings and a 7Ks. Like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
It's April 9th.
Yeah. It'll be very, very interesting to watch because last year Lennox got Hoosick in the regular season. I think Hoosick was missing some players to illness, and then in the postseason Hoosick kind of stumped him 12-6 in the round of 16. And yeah, it'll just be very interesting to see how this game happens. Once, as Mike mentioned, yeah, Hoosick just wildly out of practice because they haven't been able to play games, or not out of practice, they've been practicing just wildly out of game shape. And it should be, yeah, Lennox is coming off a nice win over Taconic, which I think was very much a game affected by the cold, just Taconic far more so than Lennox. But yeah, Lennox has some really, really good hitters. They got two solid pitchers and Evelyn Giuliano and Cassidy Flynn. And Evelyn Giuliano now is the catcher when Flynn pitches, which is an interesting development because they graduated Haley Arnold from last year. And it's pretty impressive that, you know, when she's catching for four or five innings and then has to go to the circle, and then Amaya Alger moves from first base to catcher, kind of just like a weird setup. But yeah, it's been working for them. They're unbeaten so far on the season. Be really interesting to see the two teams that can smack the ball. It'll be fun to see. This will be an interesting softball year. I think Hoosick, Lennox, and Wakona look to be the top of the Suburban West, which is essentially a Berkshire League, all Berkshire teams. And yeah, PHS it seems talented, but just very young. And as you know, Mike and I were talking, you know, it's like they were up 11-8 on Westfield and made what, 2-3 errors and lost 12-11.
Yeah, really. I think in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
They do have the top strike. Heading into last night, Ava McMahon had 22 Ks.
And I also
pitch more than anybody.
And I really think that in both of these sports, wait till the weather breaks.
Yes,
and you know, tough. once we start getting baseball, softball weather, I think the cream will rise to the top in both sports because right now, you know, it's who handles the conditions better. And especially, I know that you said the main field at Pine Grove was still unplayable. And up until probably this week, the baseball field at Wakona was unplayable. And Colin Parrott told me it wasn't the dirt. It was the grass that was too wet, which is why they played up at Joe Wolf Field last week at the beginning of the week instead of playing that game at Wakona. Give it a week and a half. The weather's going to be in the 60s every day, and I think the better teams will start to get into a groove in both sports.
Agreed. And yeah, you can definitely tell with some of these pitchers where, especially early on, it's just harder to pitch. It's harder to throw when your fingers are cold when it's 40 degrees out. And there's probably a few more errors in the infield because of the conditions. As it gets warmer, that will definitely go away, or it should at any rate. It'll be an interesting softball season because in Class D, Turner's Falls graduated Maddie Limantainen, and so there the Class D might be open. Hoosick Valley should definitely be one of the favorites. In Class C, Greenfield graduated Mackenzie Paulin. Franklin Tech graduated Hannah Gilbert, who's been killing it up at MCLA. And so Class
C... threw a no-hitter the other day.
You go. And so Class C is now open. For Class C teams would be Lennox. So they definitely have a good shot. Greylock, we'll see if they can find the pitching. It'll be really interesting to see if these Berkshire teams can now take advantage because Division 5 seems to be kind of up for grabs. Mike, you're smiling at something.
Yeah, Henry's wandering around now.
That's a typical occurrence.
He's redecorating
quietly,
the studio,
which makes me happy. He's no longer shoving his finger into.
I think sports writers everywhere are really happy that Turner's Falls graduated Limantainen.
That's a tough name.
Just because it's
tough name.
I mean, you write it enough, you kind of figure it out. But
or you just pick it up and put it down.
Yes, yeah, you copy and paste. let's see, what else should we?
So track did get underway. Just a couple notes early on. Cooper Calvert cleared 6'7" in his opening meet, which is an absurd height, bordering on a Berkshire County record. He already had the Wakona record at 6'4" last year, so day one of the season, really, he bests his school record by 3 inches, which is kind of an insane height for a high schooler to be jumping. So good for him there. Everett Pacheco did kind of what we expected, won both the 800 and mile. Amelia Deslitz dropped a 5:23 mile. These are kind of ho-hum times for them early on. Wakona's Noah Wesley hung a 10:32 mile, which is a state qualifying on, again, day one of the season, which is kind of nuts that he was going that hard. Also didn't have anybody within a minute of him, pretty much. Henry has lost his socks.
He came over, gave it to me, and then as I was wondering what to do with it, then he just came and took it back.
Greylock hosted the kind of season opening meet. Not everybody was there, so you can kind of take some results with a grain of salt there. Lennox, who was not at the Greylock Invitational, competed last night at Hoosick Valley.
And there's a guy on the Ahmet Yildiz.
All-state soccer player, yes.
Won the 100 and the 200 yesterday, and he could be a factor.
Yeah, the 100, 200 were huge just holes entering the season. I believe four of the top five times from last year in both graduated. Lorenzo Lewis and actually Lennox's Joylyn Tessier were the only top sprinters returning on the boys' side. And I should mention Friday, which is tomorrow, will be the first ever meet at the new facility at Taconic High School.
And I'm correct in saying that Taconic and PHS will both share that as their home site, correct?
They always have.
Yes, yeah. This will actually be a Pittsfield meet, so a little odd that Taconic doesn't get first dibs.
Yeah, it's true.
But Pittsfield had really just as much to do with getting the project over the hump. Pittsfield will host Wakona, Cooper Calvert, Lorenzo Lewis, Noah Wesley, some big names there. and Mount Everett as well. That's at 4 o'clock. Yeah, at Taconic High School, which should be very interesting.
Not much time left. Do want to mention Ella Stodden, Taconic softball player, did get her 100th hit of her career against Lennox, and then in girls lacrosse, Wakona's Mia Thomas and Brooke Harrington both got their 100th goal. Or no, sorry, 100th point. Both in road games, so some milestones to start the season.
I believe Reagan Shea also 100 points.
All right, so there you go. But thank you for tuning in. We hope it gets warmer and you guys can enjoy being outside a little more. But otherwise, have a good weekend and take it easy.